It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
London really now just trying to get back to normal, and today certain parts around Borough Market reopened. That was where the knife attack itself happened. But this attack being hotly debated in the UK at the moment as more information is coming out about the terrorists themselves and how they were able to slip through the net. One of them, Karum Butt, was willingly filmed praying with an ISIS flag for a documentary called The Jihadi Next Door. Rashid El-Khada, of whom little is known, was either of Moroccan or Libyan descent, but he came in via Ireland, while Yusuf Zagba from Italy had been caught trying to go to Syria last year and had actually told authorities, I'm going to be a terrorist. Now, the attack has led to a number of arrests so far, including one 30-year-old man just this morning, but all except two of them have now been released as authorities continue to try and find out just who else was involved. How did they meet? Was it at a mosque? Was it online? That's a big question people are going to be asking. And very sadly, in the last few minutes, we're just hearing that another body has been pulled out of the River Thames. It's an Italian man who had been missing. So I've got to tell you guys that that death toll has now risen to 8.
All right, that was Benjamin Hall this morning on Fox News. And, of course, that's kind of the aftermath of England. All eyes are on England. They're getting ready for their election. It's either tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow. And the polls are very, very close. And so, believe it or not, the current prime minister is the most, I guess, in our terms, most conservative, although she's not conservative. And I'm not speaking of the party label of any of the candidates. But she is not faring well. And I think that's because she lacks passion and clarity on this issue of terrorism. And it's just amazing the things we're hearing about the three terrorists that are now dead and how they were known by the police, how they were under investigation, how they appeared in videos. It's just amazing. And it reminds us of what we need to do here back home. And as we talk about a lot of things today, really that almost moves to the front burner, does it not? Keeping America safe, and that's why I defend the president so often when they get so silly about his tweets, which they continue to be. I would play a John Roberts, we should play the clip. Let's do the number two of John Roberts, obsessed with the president's tweets, because you see, that is the most important thing. Let's listen.
More and more Republicans are becoming concerned that a major hindrance to the president's legislative agenda is his incessant use of Twitter. Listen to Senator McConnell just minutes before meeting with the president today.
I can only say what I've said before. I'm not a fan of the president's tweets. And that still remains my view.
Add to that what Senator Bob Corker said yesterday.
Probably it's best to refrain from communicating with 140 characters on topics that are so important.
This morning, the president dismissed any notion of backing off, tweeting, quote, the fake mainstream media is working so hard trying to get me not to use social media. They hate that I can get the honest and unfiltered message out. This afternoon, the press secretary said, why quit?
And I think his use of social media, he now has a collective total of close to 110 million people across different platforms, gives him an opportunity to speak straight to the American people, which has proved to be a very, very effective tool.
Using it and using it wisely can be two different things.
Right, and I think the same people who are critiquing his use of it now critiqued it during the election, and it turned out pretty well for him then.
What's unclear is whether the president's tweet storms are merely presidential musings or if they reflect official policy. Yesterday, White House aide Sebastian Gorka suggested the former.
It's not policy. It's not an executive order. It's social media. Please understand the difference.
But today, Sean Spicer said it's definitely the latter.
The president is the president of the United States, so they're considered official statements by the president of the United States.
All right, so there you go. I mean, last night on Fox, so many of the pundits were talking about this. They're so offended that Donald Trump should be tweeting. How dare he tweet? He should not tweet. And look, the alternative Regardless of the mistakes he may have made in spelling and other things, the tweets keep him in touch with 100 million people. And you can bet if he was not communicating his message, you think John Roberts is going to tell people? You think that he's going to deliver to you what President Trump actually has on his mind? Do you think ABC is going to do that? You think CNN? Really? I think Sean Spicer is actually doing an excellent job. I owe him an apology because I didn't really think he was going to be up to the task. He was the spokesperson for the RNC. But I actually think he's done a good job. I thought that was a great answer. It was John who said, you know, but tweeting well is different than just tweeting. Yeah, I mean, they're so superior. It's just amazing to me. I don't think, my preference would be for the president to keep right on rolling with those tweets, but maybe be a little bit more careful, maybe a little more accurate, take counsel, private counsel, not counsel from John Roberts, but other people who say maybe don't talk about potential Supreme Court cases coming up. Listen, I say let her rip, because honestly, these are dangerous times, and we cannot depend on our news sources anymore. I have to say thank God for Twitter. Would I ever have said that? No, don't think I ever would have said that. I have a lot of things to tell you today. In fact, you've probably, maybe some of you have seen that the president has early this morning, just a few minutes ago, he's announced that he's going to be nominating Christopher Wray as the new director of the FBI. Now, I'm not prepared to tell you anything about him other than he is a former chief of the Justice Department's Criminal Division from 2003 to 2005. He served during the George W. Bush administration, and he was a member of the administration's Corporate Fraud Task Force, and that's all I know. So that's an interesting timing because, of course, James Comey is getting ready to testify tomorrow. This morning, I'm telling you, I think this morning's testimonies will be even more interesting than James Comey's tomorrow, although the press is apoplectic. They are so excited. They're hoping and praying that they can find more reasons to go after Donald Trump, to stretch the story out more, and maybe even hope of all hopes that James Comey will accuse the president of obstruction of justice in his private conversation with him in regard to not prosecuting Mike Flynn, which takes me to some things I want to share with you this morning. The Free Beacon is reporting as of yesterday afternoon that Comey will not testify that Donald Trump obstructed justice. I mean, John Roberts and ABC, they must be so disappointed. I mean, they've just been breathless in anticipation of Comey saying that the president obstructed justice. Of course, that's an impeachable offense. But it looks as though Comey will not say that. It looks like Mr. Trump said, can you let this go? It says that he said he hoped Comey would drop the Flynn investigation. That was the conversation. I hope you can see your way clear to letting this go, to letting Flynn go. That was the terrible, horrible, no good thing that Donald Trump said to FBI Director Comey. But it's Comey says that made him uncomfortable. Okay, so I'm going to move to this New York Times article because they tell it a little differently, as you can imagine. Here says, the day after President Trump asked James Comey, the FBI director, to end an investigation into his former national security advisor, Mr. Comey confronted Attorney General Jeff Sessions and said he did not want to be left alone again with the president, according to current and former law enforcement officials. Mr. Comey believed Mr. Sessions should protect the FBI from White House influence, the officials said, and pulled him aside after a meeting in February to tell him that private interactions between the FBI director and the president were inappropriate. But Mr. Sessions could not guarantee that the president would not try to talk to Mr. Comey alone again. Now, let me just set the record straight here. We know that FBI Director Comey met with President Obama at least twice by himself. I guess that was different, you know? But he's demanding that Sessions protect him from Comey, you know, from the president. I mean, it's just amazing. So Mr. Comey did not reveal, however, ever what had so unnerved him about his Oval Office meeting. He disclosed this information just to a few of his closest, but not to nobody in the Justice Department. His unwillingness to be alone with the president reflected how deeply Mr. Comey distrusted Mr. Trump, and Mr. Comey believed was trying to undermine the FBI's independence as he conducted a highly sensitive investigation into links between Mr. Trump's associates and Russia. Then it goes on to say, the New York Times, the Justice Department typically walls off the White House from criminal investigations to avoid even the appearance of political meddling in law enforcement. Now, let me just say right here, that's terribly, totally misleading. This is not the investigation alleged, the surveillance, the unmasking of General Flynn was not a criminal investigation. It was not a criminal investigation. And besides that, the president of the United States really actually has the right to ask an FBI director probably pretty much anything he wants to ask him. I'm sure he does not have the right to try to twist his arm, force him, threaten him to stop an investigation. But when it comes to national security, which is the case with Mr. Flynn, he has every right. The president is the commander-in-chief. He oversees all of our intelligence. The buck stops with him. He has a right to all of it. And he certainly has a right to talk to the FBI director about investigation. Criminal is different. If there's a criminal case, but if it doesn't have anything to do with the president, my understanding is the president can ask the FBI director anything about that, as long as it doesn't connect with someone that he knows, and as long as he's not putting pressure again or threatening to do something or trying to alter the course of it for an untoward reason. So this is the New York Times account. FBI officials were also unsure whether what Mr. Trump had done was a crime or how the conversation could be corroborated. All right, so on and on it goes. Mr. Comey's decision to keep his interactions with Mr. Trump a secret from the Justice Department were the latest example of how he set himself apart from the department throughout his tenure as FBI director. But not apart from President Obama, I might add, and that Justice Department. But this Justice Department, he's trying to keep his distance, and I'm going to get into why that might be. He made this statement. Speaking of the FBI, we are spiritually, culturally, pretty independent group, and that's the way you would want it. That's true. The FBI is independent, but it is not true that they are separate. They are under the guidance and the umbrella of the Justice Department. The FBI director is under the Attorney General, and they both serve at the pleasure of the President of the United States. I think Mr. Comey may have forgotten that. And what else did I want to share with you on this? While Justice Department policy allows officials to tell people whether they are the target of an investigation, prosecutors, not FBI agents, handle such discussions. We typically do not answer that question, Mr. Cabe testified recently, because everyone's asking, well, is Mr. Trump under investigation or not? Mr. Comey refused to say. But remember, he did go public and have a press conference saying that Mrs. Clinton was not under investigation and she would not be prosecuted. He had no problem doing that. The inconsistencies are mind-boggling, I have to say. And I want to just read one last thing in this New York Times memo. February 14th, Mr. Trump kicked Vice President Mike Pence, Mr. Sessions, and other senior administration officials out of the Oval Office so he could have a one-on-one conversation with Comey. He kicked them out. He kicked Mike Pence and Sessions. Is there any bias in this reporting, I ask you? But I have to get this in. This is just reported. It came to my, it was in my inbox this morning. This is reported by an outlet called Circa. It's John Solomon and Sarah Carter. A former U.S. intelligence contractor is suing fired FBI Director James Comey and other current and ex-government officials alleging the Bureau has covered up evidence provided to agents showing widespread illegal spying on Americans. There is a lot more to this story. We'll post it on our Facebook page unless I have a chance to come back to it later. But this contractor is saying he brought it to the FBI's attention that illegal things were happening and they buried it and did nothing about it. He's suing James Comey. How very interesting. All right, when we come back, one of my favorites, Brigitte Gabriel of Act for America, will talk to us about what she and her organization is doing. Brigitte, of course, was raised in Lebanon. She is a dynamo. She knows all about Islam, and I love talking to her, so please stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
So What would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. And that is a beautiful thing, too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
There once was a princess who was walking down the street when she met a frog. If you kiss me, the frog said, I'll turn into a very spiritual, kind, and nice Presbyterian minister. The princess picked up the frog, put it in her pocket. What are you doing? Shouted the frog. The princess said, I'd rather have a frog. Don't you get tired of the super spiritual saints who seem to have been given a miserable pill with a mandate from God to medicate the rest of the world? Come to think of it, I'd rather have a frog too. Listen, the world isn't impressed with religion, but love. Love never fails. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
If you get your news from the big three networks, or heaven forbid, the New York Times, you need to understand something. The mainstream media wants to take down the Trump administration. They want to destroy President Trump. Modern-day journalism is not just about the facts anymore. It's about advancing a narrative, regardless of the truth. The Washington Post is the worst. Remember the day FBI Director James Comey got fired? The Post reported Sean Spicer was hiding in the bushes. But he wasn't. They had to walk back the story. So you can understand why I'm a bit skeptical of their latest exclusive, that President Trump divulged classified intel to the Russians. A story based on anonymous sources from a newspaper with a history of hyper-partisan reporting. The White House flat out denied the story, so somebody's lying. And I trust the Washington Post with the truth about as much as I trust Bill Clinton with an intern. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Well, just yesterday in France, in front of Notre Dame in Paris, an attacker shouted that he was a soldier of ISIL and attempted to strike a police officer with a hammer. So he was taken down. Meanwhile, in Toronto, a woman in a burqa screamed Allahu Akbar and charged into a Toronto store attacking customers. And then a story out of Gatestone just this week told the story of how the Muslim Students Association, which is supposed to be, you know, this wonderful voice for Islam on college campuses, they can trace so many of the leaders, our participants in violent jihadist organizations, to their membership in the Muslim Students Association. Which brings us to back home, to a story out of Indianapolis. Let's listen to the local story. Here it is.
The billboard being seen by thousands of drivers every day.
But some in the local Muslim community say the only thing its message does is spread hate.
I was a little disappointed when I saw that.
That's because the billboard's bullet points, opponents say, are meant to disparage the Muslim faith.
We've seen them in New York and several other cities.
It's even getting attention on the national news.
There's a billboard, as we speak, off of one of our major highways. It says very, very vile things against Prophet Muhammad and Islam.
There's no company name or identifying group on the display, but Google truthophobes, a word seen at the bottom of the billboard, and you'll find a range of websites rife with anti-Muslim messages.
We do support freedom of speech, but we do realize that this also is rooted in bigotry.
And while many local organizations are speaking out against this billboard, one says it wants to do more. The Muslim Alliance of Indiana tells me it's planning to raise money to put up its own billboard nearby to spread a message of peace and kindness. Also saying in a statement, quote, nobody should be exposed to such disgusting language no matter who they are about. We urge the person or people responsible for the billboard to come and have a conversation with us instead of hiding behind anonymous. Others say they plan to fight closed minds with open dialogue.
And they encourage others to come visit the mosque because I think really building bridges is the best way to really overcome this period.
Reporting in Indianapolis, I'm Trevor Shirley, Fox 59 News.
All right, if that's all you knew, you would say these bigots have put up this billboard, this terrible billboard insulting Islam. Fox 59 just hinted at that. They didn't talk to anybody on the other side. They didn't even say what the billboard said. So I'm going to tell you, it's labeled The Perfect Man. Doesn't mention anyone's name. It just says The Perfect Man. They describe him as married a six-year-old, slave owner and dealer, rapist, beheaded 600 Jews in one day, 13 wives, 11 at one time, and tortured and killed unbelievers. So Muslims in Indiana are apoplectic. That was Andrew Carson that you heard, the congressman from Indiana who was Muslim. And this was put up by a group that's anonymous, but they have sourced every single thing they have put on that billboard. All right. So is this the beginning of some sort of pushback in the country? Has anything changed? Have we reached a turning point as of these most current massacres in England? I wonder. Well, I'd love to know what Brigitte Gabriel thinks. Brigitte is a longtime friend, but that's not her claim to fame. She's from Lebanon. She herself suffered at the hands of Islamists as she was growing up with her family. She is a national treasure from my perspective. She's the founder and president of ACT for America, which is an activist group that forming around the country to fight back this whole notion of Sharia law, which is at the heart of all of these things described on that billboard. And she joins us this morning. Good morning, Brigitte.
Good morning, my friend. Delighted to be with you.
You are always so cheerful. I don't understand it, Brigitte, but I love it.
Hey, thank you.
Do you think that we could possibly be at a turning point in this country?
Oh, we are absolutely at a turning point in this country. I cannot begin to tell you how excited I am to see America waking up. And here's how we know America is waking up. Right after the female genital mutilation doctors in Detroit, when the story broke, we at ACT for America decided we just posted a little Facebook post and said, you know, wouldn't it be nice to have rallies standing up for these young girls that are genitally mutilated? So we decided this great idea. We're going to have rallies nationwide, and we're going to call it March Against Sharia, March for Human Rights, to stand up for these girls and see what's happening. And Sandy, I cannot begin to tell you, we were inundated with people rising and saying, I'm holding a rally in my city. I'm holding a rally in my city. And you know, ACT for America is the largest national security grassroots organization in the country. We have over 500,000 members and over 1,000 chapters nationwide. Do you know that we have, of all the rallies we have scheduled nationwide, only 3 are by chapter leaders? The rest are by activists who came out of the woodwork, out of nowhere, who said, I'm standing up, this is a turning point, and I'm proud to tell you that this Saturday, in 3 days, we're going to have marches nationwide in 29 major cities across the country, in 21 states. I urge people who are listening to us right now, go to our website, actforamerica.org, click on March Against Sharia, find a rally near you, and get involved.
All right, so, and you're covering all of the cities in the United States, first and foremost, but not exclusively, that have had attacks, like Orlando, like San Bernardino, like those cities are on your list Minnesota, Atlanta, New York, Orlando, places that have been like even your did you manage to schedule one in Richardson where that the Holy Land Foundation terror financing trial took place?
Yes, we did, and we have one. Again, people can go to the website and find all the listings. Also, they can go to our Facebook page, March Against Sharia at Facebook, and find all the listings. And you know how ironic? I mean, this week marks the attack on the Orlando nightclub. Remember, an Islamist decided he wants to go kill gays and attack the gay nightclub. And what's so interesting about our rally, Sandy, is, and this is what tells us that the nation is literally, we are seeing a shift, we are seeing a turn around, is a lot of our organizers are members of the LGBTQ community. I mean, the rally in New York is organized and headed by members of the LGBTQ community. We are seeing an unprecedented involvement on the part of all Americans coming together and saying enough is enough. We even have a former imam speaking at our rally, Muslims speaking at our rally, gays, lesbians, Native Indians, everybody. We have Miriam Ibrahim, for example, speaking in Virginia Beach. She's the one who survived in jail. Remember, they wanted to kill her for being an apostate. Gave birth in jail. She's going to be speaking at the rally in Virginia Beach. We have acid attack survivors speaking in different parts of the country. Really, it's amazing because we're not going to roll over like Europe. America is not Europe. America is not a geographical location. America is an attitude. It's an attitude forged in bravery and patriotism. And we're sending a very strong message to our enemies that America's not rolling over. You better be on your toes because we're coming after you and we're going to resist you. America, this is a resistance movement. Europe did not have a resistance movement, but America does. And we're seeing the reason. We're starting to see things change nationwide.
All right, so let me repeat again. That's this Saturday, June the 10th. And if you want to find out if there's one, is it too late to organize one in your community? Let's say it's a smaller town or smaller area. Could they have one?
You know what? They can have one. Sandy, we have a very small staff, and we're barely able to juggle all these things. So, yes, if you want to have, organize one in your community this Saturday, by all means, email us. Even if you show up with a group of your friends wearing, you know, holding your American flags, waving your American flags on Saturday afternoon. We organized all the rallies to coincide between 12 noon Eastern and 3 p.m. So we can be trending on social media nationwide, happening all at the same time. You can go to our website and check for all the details. Join us. We want you with us. If not at this rally, we're going to be organizing more things and other things. We have a national conference coming up in Washington, D.C. This October, we are descending on Washington, D.C., and you can find more information about that also on the website, actforamerica.org. And Sandy, you heard me say this before. We named the organization Act for America, not Think About America, not Wish for America, not Pray for America. You can do all the above, but without taking action, nothing happens. You see, on our side, a lot of our people sit behind the scenes, they watch the news, they listen to talk radio, and they think, oh my gosh, I cannot believe this is happening in the country. But we don't do anything. The left on the other side, they come out, they organize. I mean, if you go to Indivisible, for those of us who are listening right now, if you want to know how the left is organized, go to your Google, type in Indivisible, and watch what you get in your community. This is the left organizing. They have over almost 6,000 groups, and this just started after the inauguration of President Trump. We need to do the same thing on our side, and we need to come out strongly supporting our president and his policies to secure the nation.
You know, it needs to be said again that the left and the Islamists are partnering. They have been for decades. I guess you could say it started, from my knowledge, it started back in Nazi Germany when the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem was an ally with Adolf Hitler. But the red-green axis is very much well and alive, and you can see them working together in various ways. It was interesting, Brigitte, wasn't it, that contractor, reality winner, was a part of, she was very, in addition to all of her leftist involvement, she was also involved with Muslim organizations. And so there is a nexus here. There is a cooperation.
Yep.
And we have to recognize who are the enemy of this country really is. Let me repeat. It's actforamerica.com, actforamerica.com, this Saturday, noon to 3. And you can find information about the rallies on the website and also on that convention in October.
Yes, oh. actforamerica.org.
Okay, actforamerica.org. Brigitte, I don't even know where to start. You know what? Let me just give you a really broad question. As we watch these terrorist attacks in London, I wish I'd talked to you the next day. I didn't. But you've had time to think about this, London to Manchester. What are your thoughts about what happened there?
You know what's the scariest thing about what happened in London, Manchester? Is that the guy was radicalized by imams sitting in Detroit in the United States of America. That's the scary part. That we have imams in America with YouTube videos radicalizing terrorist barbarians worldwide. Why are we allowing that to happen? Why are these videos still up on the internet? You've got Facebook censoring talk like yours and mine and Catholic bishops and Michelle Malkin who are talking about the terrorists committing the barbarian attack by beheading people, yet they keep posts by these imams radicalizing these youth. I mean, the Prime Minister of England hit the nail on the head. Social media and these websites have to take some responsibility. They call us hate speech. What about the hate speech by the radical imams here in the United States spewing hatred and radicalizing people? And the lesson that we need to learn about this is we have the warning signs all along. You know, Sandy, there's like a pattern. Every single terrorist attack that we hear, whether it's here, whether it's Australia, whether it's in Canada, whether it's in Europe, after the fact, we hear, oh, he has been on the radar of the intelligence community at one point or another. This guy in London not only was on the radar, he was on national television in a documentary holding an ISIS flag and a public part proudly displaying his allegiance to ISIS. Why was that guy kept in England? Why wasn't he deported? This is a lesson that we need to learn here in the United States. If we are right now acknowledging in America, as our intelligence agencies have recognized and acknowledged, that we are monitoring up to 1,000 ISIS sympathizers in the United States right now, why don't we kick them out? Why are we wasting our time monitoring them instead of getting them the heck out of our country and monitoring them while they are outside of our country? Save taxpayer dollars. Focus our energy on protecting the country. That's the lesson that we need to learn as a society.
You know, Brigitte, the big obstacle to that, as I don't need to tell you, has been the scrubbing of training manuals for FBI agents, for Pentagon, people in the military. Yep. They don't even know about Sharia. They don't know about the truth about Islam. And so they repeat the claptrap about it, that it's a very peaceful religion, that this is not really Islam, et cetera, et cetera. And our people supposedly protecting us, even the FBI director, I know, in a private meeting, made a ridiculous comment about this. He said after, I'm talking about Mueller now, after he'd been director of the FBI for probably almost 10 years, he asked in a private conversation in Afghanistan, one of the personnel there, one of the higher-ups, why do they hate us so? Why do they hate us so, Brigitte? The head of the FBI asked that question in Afghanistan. He couldn't figure out why in the world the Taliban or the Islamists, why do they hate us so? The FBI director didn't even know that. Have you seen any signs of any change in any under the Trump administration of trying to turn that whole thing around and re-educate the people that are supposed to be trying to protect us?
We are working on that as we speak, Sandy. And you and I have been in the trenches together. We have been in the trenches together for over a decade, you and I. We are working on that, and we are working on that as hard as we can. Yes, things are going to change, but they're not going to change overnight. The country, members who care about our country, are seeing now the hypocrisy in Washington, D.C. They are seeing how difficult it is for President Trump, who are trying his darndest best to protect the country, starting with the travel ban. And look at the resistance he is getting from the judges who are now sitting on the benches. So this is what he is up against. This is what we are up against. And you alluded to something earlier. This is all as a result of the work of the Islamist and the leftist coming together in a coalition that did not start yesterday with Linda Sarsour. This has started way, way, way years before, as soon as Obama got elected, that even earlier, as they instruct him in the Muslim Brotherhood Project. Part of the teaching in the Muslim Brotherhood Project is work with like-minded progressive organization that shares similar goal, instructing the Islamists. Basically, work with leftist organization who despise their countries as much as you do and who wants to see the government governments fail. That's why we are seeing now people like George Soros, for example, fund Linda Sarsour. Seeing people like George Soros fund the Southern Poverty Law Center to work with Linda Sarsour, to work with CARE. The funding is coming right now to the Islamist organizations from the left in order to create a coalition to continue the pressure of the blind leading the blind, misleading our elected
officials. Brigitte Gabriel, Act for America, will be right back, I promise.
Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Sometimes there's a delay between crying out to God in prayer and seeing those prayers answered. It is imperative for us in those times that we don't waver in our confidence in our God. The next verse goes on to say, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." You see, the delay between supplication and delivered answer is one of the ways God develops endurance in us. He desires that the roots of our faith grow down deep, that we become trees planted by rivers of living water, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in His work. In this, we grow beyond superficial Christianity.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association. A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden, Executive Director of the Association of Independent Methodists.
Is experience the only way a person can know that they belong to God and that they are saved? Is there not something more objective? The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God." God gives us objective truth based on fact and the power of His Word that Jesus paid the price for your sin, and that by trusting and believing in that reality, you can know you have eternal life, that you have a home in heaven, and you can possess Him now.
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit AIM2020.com.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrades. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. In America's heartland, a much-needed debate has been prompted by an unlikely muse, a pair of billboards in Dallas and Indianapolis. They simply list 6 attributes of the, quote, perfect man, unquote. Sharia supremacists like Indiana Congressman Andre Carson, however, have recognized the description of this so-called exemplar as, for example, a rapist, mass murderer, and slave trader, as their prophet, Muhammad. They're furious and insist that the billboards are mischaracterizing the founder of their faith and are Islamophobic. In fact, the sacred texts of Islam make clear that the perfect Muslim and the Sharia code his life and conduct make an obligatory model for its adherents, revere personal qualities and behavior completely at odds with our constitution and civilization. Let the debate begin, but let it end with an affirmation that the model for Americans, Muslim and non-Muslims alike, should not be that of Muhammad. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Well, you just figured out why I love Brigitte so much. I love her passion. I've learned a lot from her through the years, and I didn't want to let her go without at least having a little coda here, because that's for you musicians, because I want you to know about the rallies again. They are this Saturday, March Against Sharia, March for Human Rights. They'll be happening all around the country from noon to 3, I'm guessing, Eastern Standard Time or wherever your local time is. And you can go to actforamerica.com, actforamerica.com, and you can find the March Against Sharia's wherever they may be. You can also, if you want at the last minute to organize one in your city, you can. They are in 21 states and I think 23 or 24 cities. So, Brigitte, I interrupted you because I didn't want to interrupt you because you were talking about the nexus between the red and green axis. So I want you to finish your sentence and then we'll say goodbye to you and let you go on about the business of actually fighting this stuff.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I didn't hear the music come up. That's why I kept on talking, you know, until we got the commercial break. But no, the work, we're seeing the alliance between the left and Linda Sarsour and the Islamic organization, like, unbelievable. Linda Sarsour was interviewed for Glamour magazine, and she was bragging how she is getting funded from the ACLU, the Southern Poverty Law Center, MoveOn.org, and all these leftist organizations. So they are not standing with the Islamists only with their efforts. They are standing with the Islamists with their finances. And this is why we are seeing such a push against the president's policies to secure the nation. But we are working on it. We have got to take out, remember, it was CARE and Islamic organizations that influenced Obama to basically take out all references to Islamic radicalism out of our counterterrorism training manuals. So we are fighting that. We're putting this training back. We're putting this language back. The time for sensitivity training for the FBI is over. We are working very hard to change that. And I encourage people to start speaking up, to start becoming active, to start getting involved with organizations like ours. You know, they say squeaky wheel gets the oil. The left is squeaking as hard as they can while we are murmuring. The time of murmur is over. Time to start squeaking. Join us, actforamerica.org, actforamerica.org. Become a member of Act for America. We are the NRA of national security, and we want you involved.
You know, Brigitte, I was just thinking, this reminds me very much of a movie I saw once. It was very very moving to me because I lived in Berlin, Germany, when the Cold War was still on. So the tensions of the East-West are so still very real to me. Like, I'm sure your experiences growing up in Lebanon under Islamist terror are still, very vivid to you. But this movie was, it was in French, and it was about the French, it was in France, and it was about the French resistance. And the scene that really impressed me was that there was a person trying to escape from the Nazis in Paris. And he was running frantically, and the Nazis were hot in pursuit, and a group of Frenchmen noticed what was happening. And it was like probably 100 of them, and they jumped on their, they just, not all at once, but they jumped on their bicycles, realizing what was happening, and rode with this guy trying to escape so that they mask him. They joined in, just like they were out riding their bicycles, and the Nazis could not distinguish. They covered for the guy, and he got away. My point is, the problem we have now is that we have instilled such a political correctness that people don't want to speak up. But if we all got bold, the Islamists could do nothing. And their excusers, the people that, their apologists, would be helpless if we just band together. And that's what Brigitte is trying to get us to do. So it's actforamerica.com, or .org. That's right. I keep saying .com. That's why you're correcting me. I just figured that out. Actforamerica.org. Brigitte, thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, my friend. Okay. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, you too. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, as an addendum to our discussion here, there just to make bring home the point about social media, just to give you an idea, you know, as Brigitte said, these posts of various terrorists and imams inciting violence, like they managed to do in the terrorists in Britain this past 3 months, the same social media outlets are not treating others the same way. And here's a story, John Higgins, Father John Higgins, who was a priest, let's see, where is he? It's in Downey, California. And this is what he posted. Western civilization has been under attack by Islamic jihad ideology since the 7th century. The extremist and totalitarian invasions have been responsible for the deaths of millions. This is not a religion of peace, it is a philosophy of conquest. The Crusades were an attempt to keep Christians and Jews safe in Israel and other parts of the Mideast, but modern intellectuals have branded them as horrific. The Spanish threw the violent jihadists out of Spain. The Austrians defended Vienna from them. Charles Martel fought them in the north of France, and now we are seeing their further attempts at world conquest and domination using using modern technology in their greedy attempt to subjugate anyone who does not profess and live their creed. They abuse women, kill gay people, murder and rape children, and justify it as the will of Allah. It is not. There are peaceful and good Muslim people, and then there are Islamists who are defended by the ignorant who refuse to learn history. Well, what happened to Father John? He was suspended from Facebook. Suspended from Facebook for making that post. And he was just reinstated a couple of days ago. So that's how people like Brigitte and us are being treated. And that's got to stop. It has to stop. And by the way, just another thing, this really caught my eye. Live Z is reporting today that the Polish prime minister is saying she's saying, Europe, rise up from your knees. And of course, she's talking about. She's saying, we've got to fight back. Where are you headed, Europe? Rise up from your knees and from your lethargy, or you will be crying over your children every day. And that's what she's saying. And of course, the European Union is after the Poles they're trying to make them allow refugees to come into their country the same way they have managed to force Germany and France and others. Well, force, I guess Angela Merkel's been a willing partner in that. So maybe that's not quite accurate. I have, so remember that those rallies are this Saturday. It's actforamerica.org, actforamerica.org, and you could find the city nearest you, or you can organize one yourself. Oh, so many things to tell you. You have heard already that there is a new FBI director nomination, Christopher Wray. And again, I can't tell you too much more about him, except he worked under the Bush administration in the Justice Department, so we'll see as the day develops, and I'm sure I'll be hearing a lot of things about who he actually is and if this is a good nomination or a bad one. I wish I could say I have confidence it's a good one, but because we have seen the people that have managed to get in the Trump administration, I'm not confident until I hear a little bit more about who he actually is. I want to remind you that James Comey is testifying tomorrow, that there are lots of testimonies going on in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee today, which I think will actually be more interesting than Comey's tomorrow. We understand that Comey is not going to accuse the president of obstruction of justice, and that was the golden nugget that the left was hoping for. So we'll see. But the part that I want to make sure I give translate to you is what I started in the first segment and was not able to finish. It's a report out of Serica reporting that a lawsuit has been filed by Dennis Montgomery, and he is a former intelligence contractor. And basically, this is what he's saying. He divulged to the FBI a pattern of practice of conducting illegal, unconstitutional surveillance against millions of Americans, including prominent Americans such as the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, other justices, 156 judges, prominent businessmen, and others such as Donald J. Trump, as well as plaintiffs themselves. That's the allegation in the suit. And according to what I'm reading, is this Dennis Montgomery took more data than, can't think of his name. I'm sorry, there's just so many facts. I have trouble with the names sometimes. He took several disks of a massive amount of information in the course of his work and presented them to the FBI, trying to illustrate to them that things were way over the line, that people were being surveilled and unmasked unlawfully. And his claim is that the FBI did nothing, that they buried the investigation, and he's suing Comey for that. So that is a very big deal and very interesting timing. We'll see if we hear more about that today. And Devin Nunes, who's been sort of quiet, you know, he's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, did a very, very interesting interview with John Batchelor. I don't know if you ever hear John. He used to be on, he is on late nights in the D.C. area. But I don't know where, you know, in your area, you can certainly Google him and find. He has a very interesting program, I have to say. It's late night, but he has a fascinating voice and he does a great delivery. But he interviewed Devin Nunes, and Devin Nunes, of course, was the one who came out a couple of months ago now and reported, just almost stunned himself at what he had found out about unmasking. And he said he indicated, hinted that he thought some criminal things had taken place under the Obama administration, and then suddenly he was the object of ridicule, and he was targeted as though his coming out and making a statement like that was the sin and not the actual unmasking and surveilling of Americans. That was lost in the translation, and I told you then right after that, Devin Nunes came under an ethics violation in the House, and I need to explain again that under the rules set under Nancy Pelosi, anyone can come forward and file an ethics complaint against another member of the House, and they can do it anonymously. And what happens is they usually do this against conservatives. And then conservatives are forced to defend themselves. They usually go silent. It neutralizes their effectiveness. And even if the investigation never comes to anything, which it usually is, it often is substanceless, the member of Congress is so sidetracked and so consumed with trying to protect themselves that they can't do the business the people have elected them to do. Okay, so Devin Nunes, though, was speaking out with John Batchelor. The subpoenas, he explained, actually went to the NSA, the CIA, and the FBI, requesting specifically of those three individuals that were named the unmaskings they have done, that they did from the time period of 2016, the entire year leading up to January 20th of this year. And those three people are CIA Director John Brennan, former National Security Advisor Susan Rice, and former UN Ambassador Samantha Power. He said, these individuals that we named are the ones we have particular interest in, but I can say that those are not the only ones we have interest in. He expanded on the possibility of an abuse of power in the data. The big problem here is that the people that run these programs are protecting the United States, protecting U.S. citizens from terrorist attacks from other adversaries that we have around the globe, and we have to protect American citizens from being picked up in these types of foreign intelligence collections. However, what clearly has happened here, at a minimum, I don't know if it's illegal, but it's certainly an abuse of power that senior Obama administration officials would unmask someone. And then further, could I say, and leak it to the press. We can't confirm these stories are true. This is Nunes again. But if the press reports are true, then clearly people were unmasked out of intelligence products and leaked out to the media, which is what? A crime. It's a crime to do that. So we're trying to get to the bottom of these crimes if, in fact, they were committed. And he goes on to say, I've read two accounts of this. I think this count, he was asked if former FBI Director James Comey has obstructed the investigation into the unmaskings. Nunes was blunt. It's unknown at this point. We will see whether or not the FBI produces the unmaskings that were done by these three individuals. And so, but in another article, it stated very clearly, in fact, I'll find this one, that the FBI slow-walking this. That they asked for this information back in March, and they still don't have it. And so it's obvious that something is happening here. Why doesn't the House Intelligence Committee or the Senate Intelligence Committee have this information? They don't have it because the FBI is refusing to turn it over. And why are they? Well, James Comey surely must know the requests have been made, and he is at the center of not turning this stuff over. I just think I don't expect the Senate Intelligence Committee to effectively grill James Comey. I will be shocked if they do. I don't have any confidence in them. I was just reading this morning, you know, the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee from North Carolina, whose name is escaping me in this moment. I'm looking at his picture and I can't even think of his name. But I don't think he's going to be effective because I think this is all about, of course, this is motive. How would I know? But just from the things that are coming out of his mouth, he doesn't seem to have a real passion for getting to the bottom of what's going on here. He certainly has a passion for making a name for himself, and this is what they do when they get in these committees. They grandstand, they show off to the camera, and that's the reason we're in the shape we're in. We don't have men of character. Richard Burr, by the way. We don't have men of character serving us. They are awash in ego and public policy and preserving their own positions of power. But still, it'll be interesting. It'll be happening this morning and tomorrow morning. And so you might want to watch C-SPAN and to see for yourself what you think. If I'm wrong, I'm all ears. If you think these guys are great and I've misdiagnosed the problem, you can let me know. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.